What up? It is Kareem, aka Keys, back with another episode of the Indiepreneur Podcast, where we talk about all tips and tricks and strategies as it pertains to independent musicians to show them or to show y'all how to really harness the true power of a fan base and convert that love, that fire inside of everybody that you were able to capture with your music and turn them into diehard fans, paying fans too. Most importantly, paying fans. Let me not say most. Money isn't everything, but you guys get what I mean. And, you know, this episode is the very first episode of something different. You know, I like trying new things. I'm not even going to lie. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but you know, that's what comes with the territory. So I like trying new things. And recently, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the previous episode, but I started the Indiepreneur Club. It's been absolutely amazing. I've always wanted to create a place where artists could all come together to help each other, like support one another and help each other grow. And, you know, point each other in the right direction and you know, just be willing to learn more and give to other like-minded individuals. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Like, it's so insane for me to see, because it's side note, you know, what the power of the mind is truly something special. You know, that's all I'm going to say. But the club is excellent. That my members, all my founding members, love every single last one of them. And I love them so much that I thought about on the podcast, and I was like, damn, you know, I have no problem doing an episode by myself. I've mastered the art of being weird and talking to myself. But it's always cool to, you know, to have other people up here that I can chat with. Very casually, of course, like nothing, you know, not scripted. I mean, honestly, I've got a couple episodes in the chamber, two or three episodes in the chamber to date. This is one of them, if I haven't said that already. But, you know, these are some good conversations, some real good unscripted conversations, y'all, about, you know, real topics, real things that you go through, real things that you experience on your come up. Things that you see, things that you should do, things that you shouldn't do, things you should stay away from, things you should lean more towards. These are the things we talk about on the Indiepreneur Pod. More specifically, I'm calling this Sink or Swim. So the editions where all the members are up on the pod, you know, this is Sink or Swim. It's Sink or Swim time. What are you gonna do in this business? You know, either you're gonna hit your goals, or, you know, you're not. I mean, I can't sugarcoat this. Either you're going to hit your goals and your targets, or you're not. So that's why I decided to call it Sink or Swim. So on this first episode of Sink or Swim, I got a couple members up here. I'm not going to say any names yet. I'm just going to play the conversation I want you to hear about the topic. The topic is about not needing to fake it till you make it. You know, contrary to popular belief, you know, you really don't need to be some mega celeb, you know, out here fronting and faking, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses and all of that other not so good jazz. You really don't have to be that kind of artist. You don't. You know, you just gotta understand the business. You gotta know how to move. You know, you gotta know what to get into. As simple as that. You know, so yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, fake followers and fake streams and bots and things of that nature, things that I just hate to see people doing when you don't even have to do all of that. You know, there's actually better ways that you can spend your money, truthfully, that will make you money back and not just get you nothing in return besides vanity metrics. But I digress. I'm going to just go ahead and play the conversation. Listen, if you're somewhere where you can take notes, I highly suggest it, because these Sink or Swim talks, they're pretty fucking deep. So I'm going to go ahead and play this one here.
Today's topic, of course, is about, you know, stop faking it till you make it. And just to give some more context, like, before I, you know, understood the business side of things, I always thought that you had to have like some facade. Like, even if you didn't have all the money to look rich and famous and have everything all together, you still need to look, you needed to look like, even though you really didn't. But in my mind, as an artist, if you wanted to pop, you needed to look like, you needed to play the part. And it wasn't until, you know, I really started learning this stuff where I began to see that you don't really need to have all those things together. You know, this episode is called Stop Faking It Till You Make It for a reason. Like, you really don't have to fake it till you make it. You know, all you really need is some real fans. You just, that's it. All you need is some real fans. And before we get into like the whole fan building portion of things, let's backtrack and talk about why people feel the need. I explained why I felt the need, but like, why do we really feel the need for people to feel like they need to fake it? And what are the consequences of faking it? So that would be like, you know, buying streams, buying followers, things of that nature. Like, I don't know, either one of y'all can take it. Like, why would you?
I think people want to buy screens because the simple fact is, like, I get 1 million screens, people think I'm cool, think I'm dope, I must be popping, you know, I got 1 million followers, I got 1 million screens on my song. Word. People think I'm popping, but really, like, nah, it's like, now if people see that and you look at your Instagram, it's real easy. You go to the Instagram and look, well, they got 1 million these followers, but why only see like maybe 1 or 2 comments on their Instagram posts? It's like, something ain't right.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point. Because when I lately, you know, we're back into the real world at this point. So, you know, I'm going to a lot of live shows and stuff like that at this point. Like, I just went to one this past weekend. It was a showcase. Not your typical showcase. Like, it was one that was actually healthy for artists. But, you know, like, I'm going to these and I'm following people on Instagram. I'm just seeing what's going on. But, you know, like, a part of my history is also as a digital marketer too. So I can't be fooled when I see certain, you know, ratio of likes to comments, or, you know, exactly, ratio of followers to likes that you get. Like, I can't be fooled by that kind of stuff. But the vanity metrics is what we'll call them. The vanity metrics is something that a lot of people feel like they need to have. And the truth is, if someone's a true marketer or somebody who's really in the business, they're gonna be able to see that those things are fake.
Exactly. I mean,
it was like, you want to say something, Farah, to it.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna. I mean, it's really easy to tell, like, when people's analytics are off, right? Because we have programs like Rival IQ or just any analytic program that you can go through and see their actual true engagement rates and metrics. And I'm like, okay, dude, you have 2 million streams on Spotify, 6,000 followers here. So like, there's some sort of back end that's missing. Like, you're not. There's no way you're funneling 6,000 people to hit, you know what I'm saying, 2 million. Listeners, it just doesn't make sense. But it's really interesting at why people fake it. I mean, it could be like, well, I don't know why, but you think people are faking their streams because, like, we live in such a data-driven world, right? They think if I have this data, somebody somewhere is going to pick me up and then, like, boost me up.
Well, I think if we lived in a data-driven world, which we do, but the fact that we do would be the reason why people would not boost their shit. They would not fake boost their shit, because what you said before was key, was that we can actually see what people's engagement rates are. And for those who don't know, you know, what the engagement rate is, I don't know the exact formula, but it's something along the lines of, you know, the amount of followers you have divided by the amount of posts you have or likes you have multiplied by, it's an actual formula. Is the point here, is an actual formula. And furthermore, that the number that you get from doing that mathematics falls into a range. So the range is based on how many followers you have.
5% or like 1 to 3.
Right. Something. Right. So if you have, like, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, and, you know, people who are listening to this can look this up on their own time, But, you know, there's an actual, there's charts that you can find that says, okay, between 0 and 1,000 followers, your engagement rate on average should be this much. Or like if you have 1,000 to 5,000 followers, your engagement rate should be this much. If you have 10,000 to 100,000, excuse me, it should be this amount.
Yeah.
And if, right. if I go to your account and see that you have X amount of followers because you just bought them yesterday, you know what I mean? But you posted something today, and I do the math on just that post alone. If your engagement rate doesn't match what a person is supposed to have at that particular level, I know it's a red flag somewhere.
Exactly.
If it's a red flag. But like, how do you feel about people buying followers or likes for social proof? Because we know social proof is a thing, right? Like,
it's status.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Social proof is a thing. Like, if I see an artist with 10,000 likes, I'm like, who is this dude? Like, why? And I may give it a click. So, like, how do you feel about social proof in that aspect?
Or I think if the consumer doesn't know any better, the consumer will be fooled. If I was a consumer and I didn't know that much about this person that's got like 100K followers next to me, all I'm thinking about is, yo, this dude or this female, you know what I mean? She got 100K followers. I don't know what she do. I don't know what they do. You know what I mean? But 100,000 people following this person, you know, they must be doing something right. Wrong. Because that doesn't necessarily mean that this person is doing something right. You can buy all of that. And to answer your question about what makes people feel like they need to do this is because the vanity metrics is something that's attractive to people who don't know. But if you're someone who does know, like if you're like, you know, you're promoting your music and you're trying to come step to me, let's say I'm, you know, president of Sony Records and you're sitting here in my office trying to tell, first of all, you wouldn't even be in my office because I already know that, you know, your numbers are fake. But let's just say, you know, you did manage to get past all of that, you know, and you're like, yeah, like I got these amount of numbers, I got this amount of followers, I get this amount of likes on every single post. But if I look at your engagement rate, I'm like, well, your engagement rate looks wacky. Like, why? What's going on? Like, I know you don't have to lie to me. I know exactly what's going on. But what I think artists really should be focusing on, instead of having vanity metrics, are real numbers. Having real fans, real people who actually fuck with you, like who actually like you as a person first before they consume your music. And when you have enough people like that, that's when you don't need to have those vanity metrics. That's when you start to see shit like the call. I did a podcast. I'm gonna let you hop in. But I did a podcast with Call Me Ace Legit on Instagram. That's his Instagram name, but he goes by Ace. His name is Ace Patterson, right? Mm. He has at the time he had like 3.8K followers, but he was verified.
Because and that's from media publications and stuff,
media
right?
Media publications, you know, really, really putting himself out there. Like the reason why I even know who he is because he really reached out to me. It all started with a DM after a live. He reached out.
Yep.
He was like, I like how you said da 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 da. It really resonated with me. And then from there, boom, we got on a call. Boom. Like it was just magic from there. And that's how artists really need to be looking at this shit. They need to stop looking at it like, I'm about to just boost these numbers up and it's going to be my claim to fame. Because
to be a devil's advocate, there's a case where like vanity metrics bring in real people. Because like, let's say you have a great record and you have 200 followers and I click on you. If I'm like, you know, if I'm a, not to be rude, but like if I'm like a sheep, I'm not going to follow you because it's like, you ain't popping, who cares? Like you're blah, blah, blah. But you have a great record. You have 30,000 followers. They may be fake, but I don't know that. So I follow you because I want to be a part of the crowd.
It's tough. I don't know. Loretta, what's your spin on that, bro?
The vanity metrics. Like, with the vanity metrics, like you were saying, like, yeah, like, some people might not follow you, but some people will follow you because they see that. Because, like, when they see those numbers, like, yo, this guy got 10,000 likes, or this guy got 1 million likes. I say, he must be popping, so let me find out who this guy is. Yeah. But like you said, if you like somebody like you or me or Faraj knows like what's going on, knows that like, hey, something ain't right, something's a red flag, like we're not going to follow that person or not going to take them serious because you brought them likes or you brought them views.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I also understand what Raj is saying too, that sometimes vanity metrics do bring about real people though, because like he was saying, yeah. like some people actually do end up following them. So when they buy a certain number of likes, like sometimes it be real people, because I even look through their followers and look and see like, yo, these are real people.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, like I've seen some people's accounts kind of like blow up, so to speak. And the mm-hmm. first thing I do is I go and look at the followers and I go and look at the likes, and I can see that sometimes that it's not official tissue. But it depends on when you peak. It depends on when you tap into what they got going on. Cause
that
whole vanity metrics working thing can kick in at a certain mm-hmm. point, and then they'll mm-hmm. have real people start following them. And then when you go look back after when you call win. And you're like, well, you only see legitimate accounts at this point, but it's because exactly. you missed that point in time where that shit was new, and you didn't catch all of the accounts with the scribble scrabble in their names and only one post on the account.
See, you exactly. know, a good example of like vanity metrics really working, and we were talking about them the other week, but the Island Boys, like they are everywhere, and I'm pretty sure not all of their fans were legit at first, but at this point, there's got to be real people tapping in, because they
exactly,
are
exactly.
everywhere.
No
exactly.
Cat.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Cause I see them on Snapchat. I'm like, who are these cats? You know, yeah,
those cats yep. right there.
Yeah, yeah, them right there. Yep, because Indiepreneur Club. Yeah, I've seen them.
Indiepreneur Vanity Boy.
Shout out to
Keys.
Shout out to you guys. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Yo, Keys.
Positions, everything. Y'all just go up, get that bag. Go dumb with the music. Work.
Look, they got a bag off.
Shout out to y'all. Yes. And I heard you're a mentor. Keep on going. Help everybody and indie musicians learn the business side of the music industry and grow. Make the industry grow. And you guys are going to keep on going. All the boys out. Big shout out to Keys.
That's what's up.
Keys.
Oh, word. That's what's up. Yo. You got a shout out from Keys.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nah. It's crazy how you brought up the
example of you faking it till you make it, though. To an extent. It's not the same.
Extent.
Yeah.
It's not the extent. Same. Like you faking
but,
it, like
that's not really the same though, because like they gave him that shout out, so it's like they giving him a shout out. So
he don't know the background. It's a little different. It's a little different. Loretta, we can talk about it offline.
Okay.
I'll put you on game. We can talk about it offline. Okay. But Raj, I feel what you're saying. I feel what you're saying. It's a status move.
It's like yeah, you want to get the status quo. You're associating yourself with these popular brands, aligning yourself. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly. That makes sense though. That's not. I won't consider that vanity. I consider that's branding. Like that's business. Like yeah, you gotta align yourself with brands. That's business.
It all depends on where you're at at what stage you're at when you're doing this though.
Yeah.
If you're at the ground zero and you're going straight vanity, you're hustling. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it. Backwards. You're doing yeah, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. You're hustling backwards when you do it. But when you get to a certain point. And logic and reason mm-hmm. and marketing, and you start mm-hmm. to position shit correctly, it's different. Mm-hmm. Like one thing, but I stand firm on what I say. One thing you won't see Keys doing is going out and buying a bunch of followers. I don't need to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some people need to do that to get that the ball rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had plenty of people try to persuade me that that's the route that I need to go. But I'm like, exactly. Nah, like I believe so firmly in the same shit that I'm telling my clients to do. I believe so firmly in it that is no amount of you tell me that I could pay for this that's going to make me do the opposite of what I'm telling people to do. Cause that would make me feel some type of way about myself. You know what I mean? Like I pride myself on giving people information that I've either done myself and went through it and probably fucked up a few times before I could give it to someone the right way. Or I know somebody who's really doing this shit and been doing it that gave me the alley-oop. And now I'm passing that information down. You know what I'm saying? So it's just all about, you know, where you're at in the process. But at the end of the day, it doesn't excuse the fact that, you know, before all of that, you should really have a real, true, loyal a fan base that fucks with you from the rip.
Yeah.
Going on this little devil's advocate path. I'm
on. Man, you on one tonight.
Keep going.
You're going devil's advocate.
I'm a devil's advocate right now. But look, even let's say your target audience is like I don't know what the Island Boys target audience is, so let me not speak for them. But in a case where your target audience is like 8 to 14-year-olds on social media, but 8-year-olds see you got 100,000 followers, that's gonna have a huge impact on them.
It is.
All it of that is. Social profile. And if that's the audience you're trying to tap into, it's not. Is.
But here's the thing: just because you appeal to them, just because you got them, you put these people on your you're on their radar now. That still doesn't mean that they're gonna buy from you. That still doesn't mean they're gonna purchase from you. That still doesn't mean they're gonna convert like a person who has you haven't funneled these people. You may have piqued their curiosity, but piquing someone's curiosity is not enough to get them to convert and go in a direction that you want them to go in. There's a sales process. It's called the sales process for a reason.
I mean, it could be like a lead gen, no?
It could totally serve as that. It could serve as a lead gen, and then from there, you nurture them into being that perfect prospect that will eventually convert. Yeah, I see where you're going. I see where. Yeah, I'm yeah, not, yeah, yeah.
It's like big dreams, but there's instances where it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yo, let me ask you. I totally pride this podcast in just being, honestly, I already rebranded it to the Indiepreneur Pod. I low-key want to now brand it to Off the Record, but we're going to keep it the Indiepreneur Pod. But Loretta, have you ever, this is for real, you can answer, you can tell the truth.
What's up?
You ever paid for followers or streams before?
Yeah, screens, like, yeah, I did that before, like, once or twice, but
I don't want people, before you even continue with that, I don't want people to get it fucked up like that's what you're doing right now, because I know you about your shit. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I know you're really doing what you're supposed to be doing right now, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want people listening to this to get that shit confused. My boy really put in work, and I don't work with him, and I can vouch for him, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But
in the beginning, you know, we don't know shit, so we trying shit. Period.
Yeah. Cause like before I start learning from you and True Words, shout out to the GOAT Squad. You know, I gotta shout out the squad, you know, the GOAT Squad.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Shout out to them. Shout out to True Words. And you as well. Before I took your class, yes, I tried it before. And once I joined this Patreon and I joined the Indie Entrepreneur Club, like I don't do that. Once I start following you guys, like, nah, it's like this ain't the route. So I said that's not gonna work because I would tell you, I said something like what I learned from him. He was telling me, like, neither anybody can learn this from him if you join the space or whatever. No, I ain't trying to promote, you know,
nobody tells anything.
But it's just like, you know, like when somebody gives me good information, you know, like I tell people all the time about you guys, talk about you guys all the time. Somebody was asking me if you've been, I say, hey, either follow Keys of the Game or True Words, follow one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
But like to get to the point, that I get off topic though, but like that really messed up the algorithm with Spotify because they're gonna mess up your to know where your target audience is. It's gonna mess up to know the numbers that you're actually getting, your analytics. You're not gonna be able to tell if you keep doing it. That's gonna mess it up. You might have to start over.
Word. But you know what? Nah, go ahead, Barash. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll ask you, how do y'all feel about like not necessarily paying for streams, but you pay for playlisting placements, that which in turn now you're getting like audience metrics on like who's clicking on your record, who's listening to it through this playlist. You know what I'm saying? Building actual data from that.
That's a better allocation of funds than
that's better. That's much better.
Yeah. It's a better allocation of funds than just giving your money to somebody who's just gonna give you some shit that's not gonna benefit you at all. It's just there.
Exactly.
You know, so like
exactly.
I'd pay with the mindset that I have now. I'd pay a playlister first before I paid somebody to give me an extra 1,000 followers, like hands down. And I think that vanity metric shit really works the best when like you're trying to get popping locally. Like exactly. I think locally that shit has an effect on things. I don't know if it has the same effect on people who don't know you from a can of paint on the internet, but I know locally, you know, 1 minute, you know, my homie got 2,000 followers on the gram, but then next week the nigga got 50K, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No cap. If I'm somebody who don't know, I'm like, well, if it's my homie, he probably gonna put me on G. But yeah, if I was like some girls or something like that, like, I wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that to me is bull got status now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He got status now, period. Like, mm-hmm, we don't know where them followers came from. He could tell us anything. You know what I'm saying? He could be like, such and such reposted my song and now I got 50K. Okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, boy got status. But
yep,
that's just how it go. I feel like you
it work like that sometimes, though. It does be like that sometimes, though. It works for sometimes. Yeah, it work locally, though. But, like, globally, not so much. I mean, yeah, it'll work globally eventually, but you kind of want to do it organically, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of want to do it the other way. Like, it might be a lot of groundwork. It's a lot of groundwork because I'm learning this now because about target audience, you know, that's the biggest thing, finding your target audience. So what I had to get in the habit of doing, what I've been trying to get in the habit of doing is find artists' music that sound like mine.
Yeah.
That I sound like.
Yeah.
What people tell me I sound like, I try to interact with their fans and get them like that. That's one way you can do that.
Yeah. Nah, that's valid. And Raj, I know you got something you want to say. Let me just get this out real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The problem with even you having more followers and locally, like, just to my point of saying, like, maybe the boosting, you know, your platform with fake metrics locally gives you a good look. The bigger problem with that is if you try to start doing shows and shit in your area, you know, you somebody with, go back to my example, you have 50,000 followers, you go to your local bar, you got 50,000 mm-hmm. followers and you're trying to do an event, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But only three people show up to the event. One is your mama and the other two is maybe your sister and your girlfriend. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really have people pull up to no show because you really don't got people like that. You thought that getting the 50,000 was going to help you bring more people locally,
mm-hmm.
but you don't really have them like that. So that's that's just the point that I wanted to
put. I'm not going
to
disclose any name, but real life example of what you just said. I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was at a show with my artist and we were the headliner. We were the last people to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Dude before us, he's from my city, he's local. He has a buzz in the Mid-South region, right?
Yeah.
He has probably like 80 to 100,000 followers. Like, he has a decent sized audience.
Yeah.
When he went to do that show, I promise you, everyone in the audience left after his set because they hated it. Like, no one enjoyed it. And like, it was, he promoted the show, all kinds of things, but his audience just was not in that crowd. So that's a literal example of like, if your online audience doesn't match where you're going to physically, it does not matter.
Valid. You can, like, I just think just overall though, like, there's obviously pros and cons, and we went through it, you know, as we've been talking, we went through pros, the pros of, I say pros loosely, but the pros of purchasing vanity metrics, and then we went through the cons of it, but then we went through the pros of locally, and then maybe not so much the cons, I mean, not locally, but doing it the right way organically. And maybe not so much the cons of doing it, or the only con in doing it organically is time.
It just takes more time.
That's a long journey. That's it. It just takes time. But I think to combat the feeling of things needing to take so much time is understanding mm-hmm. why you do what you do, like knowing what your purpose is and what your story and what your mission is.
I'd like a quote come out where he was talking about, you know what I'm saying, like, the beauty is in the journey. Like, if you can go, if I could go 0 to 100 overnight, I wouldn't do it. Because, like, all the beauty was in my journey and my experiences along the way.
Yeah. It's not about the destination. Exactly.
Yeah. But you're not going to understand that in the beginning. Because in the beginning, all you want is the end result. You know what I mean? And in the beginning, all you want is the end result. So you're not going to be thinking about, you know, the struggle in the journey.
Fuck the journey.
Give me the end result. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you come in the beginning. Like, hey, I don't care about no journey. I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people
burn out though. Cause like, they'll go hard for X amount of months. I'm like, I ain't made it nowhere. What? and then you're burnt out because you don't appreciate the struggle.
Or burnt out because you don't appreciate the struggle, but you also didn't the expectations.
Yeah, your expectations.
I always feel like the expectations are higher than the amount of work that's put in.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you want the world for putting 2 hours a day.
No.
No, it just doesn't work. Like, no. I'm sorry.
It doesn't. It literally doesn't. To get to this point, to where I'm at right now in my career, and doing this, and being a strategist for people who are indie, who want to pursue music full time, like literally, this is decades of my life. This is decades. Like I'm 40 years old, but you know, like a decade, at least a decade of my life has went towards this. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's beauty in just that. Like, I don't consider myself to be too far, you know, I'm not anywhere close to where I really want to be yet with this shit. But like, when I really think about it in retrospect, you know, like Loretta, we talked about this in the DMs about, you know,
our first encounters with
doing music, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much that happened between then and now that like, you know, like we said, like how we know what we knew now, we'd have been on.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd have been on.
New shit in 10 years, we're like, man, if I knew that back.
You know?
And the process just repeats on itself because, you know, you're going to keep learning shit.
Straight like that. And I think that a lot of artists need to really, like if you're listening to this and you feel like you need to go out and buy attention, you really don't
do it.
Like, don't. It's not worth it. Like,
don't literally do it.
Get out there, introduce yourself to people, you know, engage with people's stuff on social media. Understand, you got to move without expectation. You can't always expect for somebody to give you their time or give you something in return for what you did at that particular moment. If you go through your entire term as an indie artist thinking that every time you put out for somebody that they're supposed to give you in return, you're already setting yourself up for failure, because sometimes this business is a slow burn. Sometimes you gotta foster shit. Yep. Like, you gotta nurture shit. You have to nurture even your relationships with other professionals in the business, like, or other artists in the business. You have to nurture those relationships, because people aren't going to move off of the very first thing that you wanted them to move off of just because you decided that now was the time. Your timing is not the same timing as everyone else's timing. Everyone's got their own shit going on. You know, you have to be cognizant of that, and you have to be willing to play that long-term game and wait and just see where things go. That's really it. You know, you got to be okay with not getting anything in return and just seeing where things go. That's it. You know,
exactly.
If anybody could take anything from this episode tonight, take rid of the fact that, like, you know, if it's not happening right now, then that just means it ain't your turn. Like,
exactly.
That don't mean your turn is not coming. So that don't mean you stop or you slow up with what you're doing. It just means your time is not now. So, you know, don't feel like you gotta fake it till you make it. Like, you don't gotta do that. Like, you really don't. Just stay down, stay committed to what you're doing. You know, show people love, show the right people love. You don't wanna be showing people outside of your target market or your target audience love, because that's hustling backwards. I mean, they're gonna like you, but you know, they're not gonna like your music. The real spill is the music. Haha. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you end up finding out they don't like that, then that's gonna be a problem. But you know, you just stay down. That's really it. Stay down till you come up. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel you on that. All that is true, what you said. You know, just speaking back on what you said, don't stop. I messed up right there. I did stop for a little bit. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped for a little bit. I stopped for about 3 years. I think about it sometimes, but then I don't beat myself up. Can't dwell on the past. Just got to focus on now. So it's like, had I would have never stopped at 3 years, maybe I took the time to actually do it then, I'd probably be further along. But everything happened for a reason. Just like you said, you know, it's not your time. But when it's your time, boy, when it's your time, it's your time. Because that's when you realize that the wait was all worth it. You know, like J. Cole was saying, like, it was worth not going from zero to 100 so fast. You know, it's like, it was worth it, you know? Yeah. Like, the wait was worth it. So it's like, when it started happening, it's like, dang, it's coming fast. Like, damn. Just coming fast. Like, I ain't know this. Like, I did this and that. It's like, then it leads up to that. So it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
When it happens, when it's your time, it's your time.
A lot of people want, like we were saying, a lot of people want that end result. You know what I mean? A lot of people want the end result, but they ain't really prepared for the end result. You know, what they're really preparing themselves for is the fast route. There really is no fast route. But in trying to take the fast route, let's say things do kind of work timely in your favor because you decided to, you know, skip a few steps, so to speak. Well, you know, the harder you climb, you know, the harder and faster you climb, the harder you fall, because you have no real foundation underneath you. I shared a video on my story last week. It was either last week or the week before that, but it was a video from the Revolt Summit Instagram, where I had a video with DaBaby, and DaBaby was talking about his rise to success, and he was saying how he on the way up, you know, he made sure that he networked with all of the people. Yeah, I know what
you're talking about. He hit all the radio networks, and then by the time he was a pop star, he knew everybody that was in the building.
Yeah. He put in the work. And one of the important things that he said in there is people be wanting it quick, but when you want it quick and you build it quick, you don't have a solid foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even on another note, fast success builds ego, whereas a slow burn just builds character, right? Like, you make it overnight, you're gonna think you that guy, and then it all come crashing like that.
And now your ego's hurt, and you still don't have the knowledge to put yourself back in that position again.
And I want to piggyback off, you said you don't have the knowledge. Keys, I know you, I said this before, you appreciate this many times.
Yeah.
Always invest in getting some education about the music business. I always take that important, get the education. I'm going to say this, like, get the education. Like, even if you think you know something, like, it's always good to learn from anybody else. Like, I have people that I follow, you know, you, Keys, True. True, Patreon, you know, I use your information from Dorian. All that for different people. Like, I see different people. I try to learn something. Like, I feel like there's always something that you can learn. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you know something or not, like, maybe you didn't realize something, but somebody else can point it out. And you're like, oh, I ain't really think of it like this. You know, why didn't think of it like this before? So it's like, that's why it's important to always invest in that education, you know, education to read it. So a lot of times, some of the things can be free too. You know, even go on YouTube. Heck, if you don't want to pay nobody, you don't want to, like, go on YouTube or something. Read a book.
That's what I used to do before, you know, I really had my sources.
Me too.
And stuff.
Me too.
I would go on YouTube. And just find what I'm looking for. That's it. That's all. Exactly. And then from there, you kind of, it's just take off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be as fast as you expected, but that's fine, because you're really learning the ins and out. You're learning the ins and outs. Mm-hmm. And that's the more important part. Like, and you hit it right on the head, like, investing in your education is what really separates the boys from the men in this type of scenario. You know, like, you can't really fuck with somebody who really know they shit. You know, even if we're talking in terms of just signing a contract, like leverage. Like, you know, we know Russ is always talking about leverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is leverage, though? You know what I mean? When you really think about it, like, okay, this guy's always saying you need leverage, leverage, leverage. Well, what is leverage? A part of having to have that leverage, you need to be educating yourself. And then when you educate yourself, you know, if you're sitting in a meeting with some execs, they can't fuck you over because you understand what's going on. I just think majority of the people who buy fake followers and buy fake metrics don't have this business shit figured out. You know, they're kind of just looking for a fast route. They're looking for a quick claim to fame. And these are the same people They get the shitty deals. You know, they get the stuff mm-hmm. that happens to them that they didn't foresee happening, because they just weren't thinking that far, and they thought they were thinking far, but in reality, you really weren't. You were really just setting yourself up to be taken advantage of. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's that. It's been an
excellent. Yeah. The education, yeah, because you don't want to, you know, like, you don't want to be a summer walker.
I don't know the details. I don't know the details where everything. You know what I mean? I don't want to sit and bash her and call her this and that. You know?
Oh, like, no, I'm not gonna bash her. I'm just saying it's sad though. I don't know all the details either.
The details that are coming out. About the current situation, 15 cents on a dollar.
Information coming out with that though, because I'm pretty sure that 15 cents off the dollar is her royalty rate, not her actual like what she's grossing revenue.
That still ain't nothing. That's still peanuts.
Industry standard's only 16 cents.
Well, yeah, true.
So, I mean,
it's like being a waitress. Being a waitress and getting that.
It's worse than a waitress because you don't keep no tips. You don't keep your tips.
No, because people say she's getting 15 cents off per dollar. Well, she's getting 15 cents per dollar album sale, but you're not accounting for like her streaming revenue, her mechanical royalty collection, her PR.
We don't know what the agreements are on that either. All we can assume is that if she took 15 cents on a dollar for that, then what else did she settle for? You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The royalty rate is only a 16 cent industry standard, so it's not that crazy. If they're talking about her royalty rate specifically, I don't know. But
right, it's all fuzzy. I feel like it's all fuzzy. It's until you really see the contract, you know what I mean? Until you really see that, like, you can't really.
And you know, well, go ahead.
No, finish. Go ahead. Land your plan.
Another thing with like music industry contracts in general is people like to assume like internet executives, like, man, you did this. I would have done, bro. Like, music industry contracts are like purposely made to be really, really, really fuzzy. Like, you can be a 10-year veteran in the music industry, like a music industry lawyer, and still not know what the hell you're reading, because like, that's just the mm-hmm. terms of business. Like, shit right. is made really purposely hard to understand. And that's a huge right. fight for a lot of like music exactly. people, is like simplifying the terms and contracts.
Exactly. It's tough. No. It's like, I never actually sat down and read a full contract, but like, I've looked at a page or two, and like, that terminology, like, what this word mean? I gotta look this up, like, what this mean, this terminology, because like you said, Barrage, like, they put that little terminology, they sneak this stuff in there, make you think you understand it, but it really meant something else.
Like, lawyer, like, legitimate professional, like, lawyers who have been in this industry for decades on end have come out and said, like, this shit is ridiculous. Like, if you took a regular lawyer, mm-hmm. let's say you took a criminal justice lawyer and put mm-hmm. him in industry, he don't know what the hell he's reading. Like,
exactly.
So, I mean, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, and they're doing that. They're doing shit like that, if you ask me, on purpose. Like,
Of course.
You know, like throwing stuff in there, like words like in perpetuity. Like, who the fuck? When perpetuity. We talk perpetuity just means forever. So if you see that jargon in your contract, that means that whatever they're talking about, if they said that it's in perpetuity, then that means that it's forever. But who's using perpetuity to say the word forever? We say forever.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's another pitfall with music industry contracts is like managers or label, like the manager or label that finds you, the lawyer they're gonna send you to is on their payroll. So like if Atlantic signs. Exactly. They're going to send you an Atlantic lawyer who is on Atlantic side. They're not your lawyer. They just there to make sure you sign these papers.
Correct.
So pitfalls there. It'll be tricky about. That's why I don't participate in the internet bashing of people when bad deals come out. Cause it's like, dude, you couldn't.
You never really know.
Yeah. You don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and bash her. Like, cause you know, it can happen to me too, but like, Me personally, like, I'll go to an entertainment lawyer, but I want to tell them, I say, well, look, give me a couple of days to think about this. Then I'm going to find an entertainment lawyer out of town. Not that that's close to them. Hopefully, I find one that has no ties to them so they can tell me up front and say, nah, this ain't a deal you want to sign. But I heard about that in perpetuity. If I see that automatic in the contract, I have enough sense to know, like, Oh, hell no. What? Like, not what? No, no. Like, no, and I'm not signing that.
And
that
forever unless don't I sign it. It's forever. Word yes, well. Up. Word up. But yeah, we're gonna end on that note. I know we're a little over our time and whatnot. Good conversation.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say this too, Keys. Maybe you need to all put that be a next post or a next bar post for the group, for the club. Maybe you put that on Instagram or something, because that I think that'll benefit a lot of artists.
But the contract part, you know, just understanding in perpetuity,
I think you should say something about that. I think that helps.
Yeah. But that's why I kind of asked today. I asked today in the Discord. I was like, "Yo, like, I don't know, like, what's everyone's objectives? Like, you know, do people want to? Do I want to sign a deal? What's going on? Like, and that wasn't, you know, obviously never to pass any judgment, but I just want to see where people's heads are at with this whole music situation. You know, like, I just want to know, do you plan on being your own owner? Do you plan on really running this entire show? Or, you know, are you okay with signing over a little bit of what you got going on for the right reason? I mean, there's reasons to do everything. You know, I just want to hear, I just wanted to hear where everyone's head was at, you know?
Did like I say something on that? I don't know if I saw that one because I got tied up.
It happens. No, I don't think so. This was like earlier in the morning. I try to, you know, we're in the same time zone. So when I get up at like, you know, like, 6:30 for work. I'm thinking about the club. Like I'm already thinking about you know what's going on, and I'm always thinking of like questions that I want to ask people. And that was one of the questions that I got. I came up with earlier in the morning. So I was like, you know what? Let me just ask people and see what's going on. But if a lot happens in between then and when you hop in the Discord, you're not going to see any of that. You know, all that's going to be buried. You know, with everything else.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Cause like me personally, like, nah, I don't want to get that up. Because a lot of times what they do when people approach you is like they're signed to a label, but then you sign to them. So they're gonna take your shit and own your shit because they got the major labels. Like I'm gonna tell you this, I'm gonna break this down to you. It's important. Like I don't think a lot of people might not know this. People might know there's only 5 major record labels in the music industry. 5 major record labels. All the artists that you say they got their own record label, they sign on to another major label. They either on the Universal, they either on the what's the other one? Warner.
Warner,
Universal,
Sony.
It's really, I think it's just 3 and then everyone else is
busted. It's 3 now? So it's not 5 anymore, it's just 3?
So it's just like 3 and then everything else is bust down. It's
bust down between
them. Damn. It used to be 5, because what was the other two? BMG, I think.
Def Jam, is that one?
No, but Def Jam was
on. I don't think it was Def Jam. I think Def Jam, was on the Universal.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's already a bust down. See, niggas, people already only know bust downs. They don't even know
the parent
entity. They don't know the parent companies.
They don't. What was it? Interscope. I think Interscope is under what? Universal, I believe.
And
I don't
think Warner 1 to 2. It's
one of them.
Soulja Boy just did a DJ Academics interview where he talked about how Interscope did him dirty. So y'all might want to check that out.
I'm gonna look that up because that's what Dre under. That's Dr. Dre under. Huh?
Aftermath
Interscope. Now I see Aftermath Interscope. Yeah, they put Aftermath in front, but Interscope really went over it. Yeah. Him and you never seen the Defiant Ones? This is like a documentary that came out like 4 years ago. Called the Defiant Ones on HBO. If you had HBO Max, it might be on there.
I do have HBO Max. I just don't use it.
See if it's on there. You'll see what I'm talking about because when Dr. Dre left Death Row, right? When Dr. Dre left Death Row, he didn't get to take his shit with him. So I'm going to tell you this, though. Not the best Dr. Dre, because I love Dr. Dre. Now, that's like my favorite producer of all time. But, like, I like all Dr. Dre. But what he did in Scram the Compton in that movie, that wasn't true. Like, he didn't leave standing up to Suge like that. Like, he left on his knees. He left scared. He begged Suge can't take his music with him. I think eventually later on, he got it back from Suge, or he probably never did. But, like, nah, it didn't go that way.
I watched that.
Yeah. That's so, crazy. Like... But when he went with Jimmy Iovine, was with Death Row and stuff, but he went, did Aftermath. He talks about that.
Yeah.
What's that called? Like, you're right. Bust it down. I like that. I like that term. I gotta use that. Bust down. So you know the bust down label.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like, it's got a lot of meanings, but in this sense, it's more like it's cut. You know what I mean? Like where you got the main, the pure, mm-hmm. the raw right up top, and then as soon as it touched somebody else's hands, you know, now you cutting it at this point.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You busting it down, mm-hmm. at that point. Mm-hmm. So,
and I give you another example though before we get out of here. I know I don't want to get too rapid a conversation, but look at Lil Wayne's situation with Baby, Cash Money. She Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Universal under Cash Money is under Universal. So Young Money was under Cash Money. So that's why Lil Wayne couldn't release his album. I did the Carter Five. It took so long to get that album out. That's why he couldn't release it. And people was like, what the fuck? He got his own label. I'm like, nah. Baby owns that. You know, Baby is over Young Money. Cash Money is over Young Money. Young Money is under Cash Money, and Cash Money is under Universal.
Damn.
So that's tied how up. Baby was able to do that shit, you know?
That's how you get tied up. That's exactly how you get tied up, man.
You get signed to somebody that's signed to somebody else.
Yeah. It's just funny because it's this YouTube series. I don't know if it's a series, but it's some video I looked at, like, about rappers with shitty deals, and somebody had walked up to Blueface and asked Blueface, Blueface was like, he was like, yo, like, what labels are you signed to? And Blueface was like, I think he named like one label where he was like, but that's just like that's not even the parent company, that's a subsidiary company or a sister company. Mm-hmm.
Subsidiaries,
so like,
yep.
Yeah, so it's like, who else are you signed to? And he's like, shit, I don't know. Like, he didn't even know who he was signed to. I think he's under Cash Money, though.
He is.
Probably.
He's like
Cash Money West.
Cash Money West.
And he's under Universal. Then that's Universal.
Yep.
So Universal is his parent company.
You got like four. You got four people touching his money before he gets to it.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah. So you got the parent company got to touch it. Then the people after that. You know Baby going to get his. So...
And then he has to pay his expenses, whatever he put in.
Shit. But. Damn, before you even touch your damn money. So, like, only person I think that's independent that might not be under anybody or distribution still, maybe Master P, if he still has No Limit. I don't know.
There's a few independents. I mean, Tech Nine's independent.
Tech Nine is killing it. Glad you said that. Tech Nine is killing it. Exactly. He's strictly independent. Been like that for like over 20 years.
There's a lot of examples out there that are doing real good independent. I just can't think of
it. You just don't, and most often you're not going to hear their names either.
Exactly.
That's the thing. They're
not going to be in the media cycle. They get their core audience and they get out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you like this. I've been to a Tech N9ne show, so I can sit here and tell you that for a fact. Tech N9ne got a cup light falling like crazy. Because when I used to live in Orlando, like 4 years ago, I went there, used to call it BU578. But they closed down and I think they renamed it something else. I forget what it is. It's on Orange Avenue. I went to that venue and I went to that Tech N9ne concert. Like, that venue was packed. Like, I didn't think he had that many fans. Like, oh, ain't gonna be a lot of people. And then I walked down, like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he had fans, but it's like, yo, I'm like, this is for real. I'm looking like, yo, like, that shit was packed. Like, you could barely move in there, pack around the bar, people on the balconies, females showing titties and shit. Like, I'm dead ass serious. Though. I'm not lying. Like, look up on the balcony behind us, people flashing titties, girl on the dude's shoulders flashing titties in the crowd in the front. You can see, but like, oh, they flashing titties.
Word.
Dead ass.
I look.
Dead ass, dog. Like, he has that following. He has a massive following. And he's strictly independent, so it can be done independently. But like, that's the best example right there. Not Chance the Rapper. People always want to scream Chance the Rapper. Don't get me wrong. No disrespect to him. Yeah, he did his thing too, though. But like, Tech N9ne had been doing it before him. But see, the reason why Tech N9ne don't get that credit because, like you said, a lot of people don't know or don't hear about him. They don't speak of it, though. But I find it for Tech N9ne because one of my battle buddies in the military told me about it. And then I started listening to it and I realized, damn, this dude got a fan base.
I've seen it for myself.
So I know it's real. So it can be done. But see, the thing is, like everybody says, like you say, true tell me, like you gotta find your target audience. That's the biggest thing. Once you find that target audience, you know his target audience. He found it.
That's it. I heard Tech N9ne literally has warehouses full of merch.
Yeah, warehouse for merch.
Yeah.
Does over what? I think 6.1 million or something like that. Might be a little more than that now because he's getting out there because you got the Rock on the song. You got the Rock on the song. His last album had the Rock do a rap. He got the Rock rapping.
He got the Rock song. Rap.
Yeah.
The Rock put out a record recently, didn't he?
Yeah, Tech N9ne. The Tech N9ne record.
Oh, it was with Tech N9ne. I thought he had a single.
Well, he had a single back. Do you remember Wyclef Jean? It doesn't matter. It's like early 2000s.
No, I don't. That's too young for me, or that's before my time.
Well, see, I'm telling my age a little bit. See, I'm telling my age a little bit. I'm 33, so like I remember that. Like I remember that's when The Rock was still a wrestler. Like he was still wrestling when he did that song. But he's not a wrestler now. But you got The Rock, like a big time celebrity, big time movie actor, legendary wrestling star. You got him to rap on your track. Like that's huge.
Yeah. That's a big move.
And he did it at an event. Like I seen a event video, Tech N9ne post on his page. The Rock did the rap.
That's lit.
The Rock went in too. I'm like, oh shit.
Look, man, this has been an excellent conversation, yo. I really appreciate both of y'all for just being
absolutely
having this talk.
I thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Well,
to
you know
here.
we're gonna do this every Tuesday, so really this Monday was more like a Kickstarter.
Okay.
Like this is literally like just something that I thought of on a whim. Mm-hmm. But like I think that this is something that I definitely want to stay. So and I want to have more members from the club up here, and like I just want to just chat and I just want to talk and see where people's heads is at and stuff like that, stuff of that nature. So you know you're gonna see this every Tuesday at 8:30. We'll be doing this and we'll just be chopping it up. That's it. No pressure.
Definitely.
Just chopping it up.
So this is like a members thing. Okay, cool.
Yeah. If you want to be up here and you want to talk. You know what I mean? You got to be in a club. This is a members thing. It's a members, definitely a members thing. You know what
okay.
I mean? The only people that'll be up here that aren't members are special guests. So like people who are industry professionals. Other than that, only my members get to share the spaces. You're sharing the same space as the president as a CD Baby. It's the same stage. As a president of CD Baby, Q from Q Music Promotions, you know, spoke to him last week. You know, and I had some Alex Gershwin from Song Trust. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this stage.
Oh yeah, that's what's
virtual,
up.
This virtual stage has been a virtual stage of some heavy hitters, and only club members are gonna be able to share.
Absolutely. That's dope. I feel honored. Yeah. I'm not a heavy hitter yet, but I'm getting there though. Trying to get there.
But the fact that you're here right now, it says a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're with me right now. It says a lot about how I feel about you and what you're doing. So,
exactly. I got some more work to put in too. I still gotta put in more.
We
work.
All do. I do too, man.
I still got a lot of room for improvement,
but you know.
Absolutely.
We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So
I ain't a zip. Just sharing my experiences, what I learned over the years. You know, like we had in that conversation of DMs, just sharing my experiences, what I learned over the years.
That's it.
And what I've been learning this year too.
That's it. You got any closing remarks, Raj? Anything you want to say? You want to shout out your mom? You want to shout out the family business?
You guys can follow me at Hey It's Faraj, a manager, marketer, student of the game, all of the above.
Where can they find you at, Loretta?
Where they can find me at? You can find me at Loretta's Only on IG. You can also find me at my website, www.loretta'sonly.com. You also can find my music on Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, or the streaming service of your preference. And you also when you go to my website, make sure you hit
you
contact.
Got the spiel ready. You got the spiel ready. You got the spiel ready.
Yeah, I got to.
Salesman.
Yeah. And also, if you are, matter of fact, if you go on my website, also go to my contact me page, because when you click on the link in my bio, when you go to my Instagram, that's the easy way to do it. Like, it has a landing page, whereas contact me where it says join my mailing list. So you can join my mailing list. So that's another way to stay in contact with me, because I'm going to say this, as you know, that Instagram and Facebook went down and WhatsApp went down, well, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm, it shut down. We all could get on. So, like, you want to join my mailing list world. Because, yeah, it did. But guess what? That's why I got that mailing list still in place. So for things like that, I just want to get that email list contacts up, because if it goes down for a week, I still can get in contact with my people.
Yes, sir.
If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Indiepreneur Podcast, I invite you to check out the Indiepreneur Club. The Indiepreneur Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of starting, running, and growing their music brand. So whether you're just beginning or if things are already running and you're just looking for ways to grow and attract new fans, then the club can help you get to the next level with our growing course library, weekly group calls, perks, tools, and supportive. When I say supportive, very supportive community to help you along with very good feedback, encouragement, and advice. The club is the perfect place for anyone who is looking for success, growing a fan base, and monetizing it. Visit www.indiepreneurclub.com and sign up. All right, it's keys.